today a very interesting place because in Ukraine, it is flat. It's very big and flat and a very good soil. By the way, we do have a display table back there. You can see the Ukraine flag back there. And also you can take a prayer card and you can even sign up to get our occasional electronic newsletter. Real quickly about the location, culture, ministry, and opportunities. This is what we call Europe over here in the West. Ukraine is Eastern Europe, and everything over here is Asia and all that stuff. The Stan countries are all down here. And Ukraine is the only way to get from, it's called the gateway to the East, because you can't go through Russia or the Black Sea or Turkey or the Islamic nations through the Mediterranean. But Ukraine has East and West highways you can go through, and it's very famous for that. There's the capital city of Kyiv and Kharkiv area right there. It's the second largest city, 3 million people, right beside Russia. We actually live north of Kharkiv, so we almost live in Russia. And a little bit closer, you can see seven nations on the border, Moldova, Romania, Hungary, Slovakia, Poland, Belarus, and Russia. So you can see right away that ever since World War II, Ukraine has been strategically considered an important place. Even the United States military and government has always had an eye on Ukraine because it's a very strategic place. Ukraine does have freedom of religion in their constitution, and it's actually, they have more freedom of religion than you have right here in the United States. You may think you have. Over there in Ukraine, we can preach anything except to overthrow the government. Here you can preach against certain sins, and the government will come in and send agents in here and arrest a preacher for hate crimes or some stupid stuff like that. You can see Ukraine is a very large nation. Let's see. Kyiv is the capital city. Chernobyl is the city of the world's worst nuclear accident. We're hoping that right here in Zaporozhye is not the next world's worst accident. Apart from Chernobyl, the worst one is in that one in Japan about 10 years ago. And we live actually close to the city of Kharkiv. If you go just north of the city of Kharkiv, you'll see where we are. And up in here is where the city of Belgorod is. And that's where every year the Russians would amass about 100,000 troops right there on the border. And we'd see them all the time. So this time when they started to get ready for the invasion, I didn't think anything of it. We were already in the United States. But we didn't think anything of it because it happened every year. But people said Russia's getting ready to invade. And when they began to get all the way around Ukraine, then we knew something was serious was getting ready to happen. And by the way, I should point out that right down here in Lugansk is where the war in 2014 started, and also where the war in 2022 started. Both times Ukraine came over. It is 8,000 miles from Amarillo, and probably you're going to want to come. This is the house where we actually have lived for ever since 2006. We did move to the war zone before the war started in 2014. We did move there for a couple months, but we just got out in time. We went to teach a class when the war started, and we'll show you this house with some bombing a little bit later. And like we said, we have a lot of administrative paperwork to do and also a lot of dishes to do. Actually, to be honest with you, I prefer to buy paper plates and burn the things rather than wash them. But these women like washing stuff. And the truth is, I do help my wife sometime. I want to go on record. Anybody? I don't want any amens or nays for that. But I will say this. Now we can travel all around the United States from church to church. And it's harder than you. I don't want any of you complaining what you're doing here. I have to drive around the United States with two buses. So, and this is inside our house. It gets ice on the inside every year when it gets cold. Living around in Ukraine where it gets very cold, our house doesn't have any insulation. So this is where they made them in the ancient days. Gas was so plentiful in Soviet Union time that it was basically your heating bill was free. The culture is a lot different. Don't ever go to a wedding because weddings, the Christian church's weddings can last up to 10 hours. I've seen 12 hours. And so after the first one, I said, never, ever again. Do everything you can to avoid weddings. And it's interesting that too, you have a lot of unusual stuff, pickup trucks with a bed on the front and stuff like that. We had to get our car repaired. And I took this down. A guy says, he ripped up an old piece of cardboard and scribbled a bunch of junk. His writing was so bad I couldn't tell what he wrote upside down or what it was. He gave it to the translator and says, bring these parts back in 3 days and I'll repair your car. I said, okay, we'll try. So it's a lot different, especially the bottom one where about the ice and the cold. And I told you how that it's so cold that when they don't eat the cold food or that when they have cold, they like to warm it up. Even when we stop at McDonald's and we're traveling, Tiny gets her Coca-Cola with no ice. That's her mind to the top with ice. And of course, they put the watermelon, well, Pablo put his watermelon in the microwave oven so it's not cold. I don't recommend that, by the way. We do have a lot of, we have the water that we get from boiled. Let me see if you're smarter than the other group. We've been drinking this bad water for good water from the stream for 17 years, and it hasn't done any dam damage. And you're smarter than that group downstairs. And this is our grass in our garden, and the people on both sides of our house yard have their full garden, and they have to do food, because even when in a town or villages where they don't make much money, they can grow food and they can store it in the cellars. And we actually have a cellar in our house below our bathroom where we close it off, but we also have a cellar under our garage. So we have a lot of places to store food, and very good food. And like I said before, we have grass. We're the only, none of our neighbors have grass. Okay, I'm not going to tell you a story about this Gazonica silica benzene, which is gasoline powered lawnmower. But it's amazing that you can grow some serious good food, I'm telling you. There's Nancy's food. Actually, it doesn't look quite as appetizing on your projector. But the good news is I've heard you guys are getting a new projector. And let's see. And Ukraine was forced to be in the Soviet Union for 70 years, just like Israel was captive in Babylon for 70 years. And it wasn't against their will. They did not have the freedoms that they needed to have. 1932-33 was the Great Artificial Famine. The CIA, you can look on the website, says 6 to 9 million Ukrainians were starved to death. And that was a terrible time. And we have this is the image of what they look like. You can see a lot of this in museums in Ukraine, and it's a horrible situation. Now the Russians have changed their history books to say that it really happened, but it was Ukraine's fault. They did it to themselves. And we said also that the United States lost 400,000 people. By the way, if you haven't been to that memorial in D.C., when you get there, you definitely should go. That's really a great memorial. And probably the reason it's such a wonderful memorial, it did cost $160 million, but the reason it's so good is because the government paid not one penny. It was all paid for by volunteers like you and me. But Ukraine, can you imagine, lost 7 million people. We lost 400,000, so they know what real suffering is over there. This is our house where some missiles, a hand grenade or something, we're not sure what happened. But this is our corner, but the four the ones here are where we were. And I can tell right away that he put the wrong slide projector in. Yes. Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. Turn that off real fast while I'm going to preach for a minute. And put on the one that says Ukraine, Amarillo, Westbrook. Short, not very short. Quickly. Okay, he'll do it within 5 seconds. While he's doing that, let me preach for just a minute. I'm going to show you a slide in just a moment where we have our students in Ukraine. We have a Bible college that's growing like crazy, and the students have started a lot of churches. We came on furlough in 2014, and our students had started 32 churches, and when we were on furlough, we quit counting churches that year. I mean, they started. But since 2017 to 2021, we've had just over 700 people. What do you need? Oh, I thought you had that already. Okay, sorry about that. Over 700 students take the first time class. So our college is growing. I'll show you in a minute. We have six locations in Kharkiv. By the way, remember about 3 years ago, you had Charlie Bean here. And I read his book on Great Salvation and Discipleship. And I told the guys, I said, we have to get this guy. So he came over to Ukraine and taught a class for us 2 years ago. And so that's our basic philosophy, is teaching salvation by grace through faith. But salvation is free, but discipleship is costly. And what's interesting to me is that right now, the students that we have in Ukraine, even though they're in danger in Kharkiv where we are, our students, the members of the church, they are doing evangelism by doing good deeds. And Jesus said to do good deeds, but it doesn't do any good to do good deeds unless you put some words with it. And when you save people's life by bringing them food and medicine, stuff like that, in the small towns and villages where they can't get it during the wartime, they're very grateful to you. The Russian Orthodox Church says there's three cults in Ukraine, and that is the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, and the evangelical or Baptist-type Christians. They consider people like you and me the cults. But whenever you see when people do something to help save their life when no one else is doing it for them, they listen to what you have to say. And recently, our church has had about 30 families into the church. All of them were unbelievers who came because of doing this stuff. And it's interesting, they do this at danger. I'm going to show you a picture in just a moment of our van that we left our van to them. And listen to this. They had Our van, the Russians have even shot at our van. It's been hit at least two times, maybe three times. We've had to get repaired a couple of times. But these, think of it, these people are doing what God told them to do, that is share the faith in Christ Jesus. We're his children. He expects us to multiply. And if they can do it with bullets flying at them and their life is in danger, and they don't just say, why is this war happening to me? Why is everything bad in my life? No, everything is bad in everybody's life because we all live under the second law of thermodynamics of entropy caused by Adam's sin. But we have to make the best of it because Christ Jesus put us here for a reason, and that reason is to spread his word around the world and preach the gospel to everyone, and that's what we're doing. And these people are showing that if you are a Christian, you don't have to be a great evangelist to spread the word of God. You just have to tell people a simple thing. Think about this. If everybody right here at West Cliff Bible Church would just say, just to your neighbor, say, we have a great Bible teacher, a great Bible church. You should come and hear what we have to say. You may say, I don't have the gift of evangelism, neither do I. But you can tell people. If you don't know how to tell people about the gospel, just bring them in here. There's people that do. If everybody in this church said, with my weak faith, I can at least invite someone every week. Then we can learn a lesson from the Ukrainians who are not afraid. And what do we have to be afraid of here? I gave a gospel tract to the lady at the drive-up window, and Wendy's all she did was cuss at me and throw it back at me, but it didn't hurt me none. And the judgment day, I'd rather be in my seat than her seat. So we have a job to do. We have the grace of God. We have everything on our side. We have the Holy Bible. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And what do we do? Some of us are happy just to warm up a few on Sunday, and that shouldn't be the way it is. The Ukrainians are the ones that are going to teach us a lesson. Okay, now this is Yuri and Andrea. Yuri was a native Ukrainian, and he got old enough just before the Soviet Union collapsed, he joined the Army. Somehow he could learn how to join the Navy. Soviet Union Navy, he could speak English, and they put him on a ship in the Mediterranean. They followed American ships, and when they dump out the trash, they'd pick up the trash. The Soviet ships would pick up the trash. They would go through the trash, and he and other people that could read English would look for all these top-secret messages. Of course, there weren't any. Some fake ones, I'm sure, But the Soviet Union collapsed quickly, and he came back to Ukraine. In 1991, thousands of Americans went over and preached the gospel, what we call the two-week or one-week warriors, and they came over and preached, and lots of people became born again. And Yuri heard the gospel the first time in his life. He got born again, he got saved, he got baptized in the church, and he helped these people translate for a while. Andrew was a missionary who came to Ukraine. Eventually, got married. They moved to the United States and became a citizen. He went to seminary and he pastored in Kentucky for 5 years. They went back to Ukraine 18 years ago, the same time we did, but we didn't meet him for 2 years. We started classes in their place, and Yuri is right. He was right at Shatsky, Lugansk, right where the war started. And he was pastoring three churches. He's helped us. He's a great, he teaches Hebrew for, believe it or not, he's taught Hebrew for our Bible college. And also he translates, he's a wonderful translator, pastor of three churches. Can you imagine? And when the war first started, this is when the war first started in 2014, they fled to a house and were there for about five months. They barely made it with their life because bombs were fouling and bullets whizzing by their house and hitting the house. And this time but the Ukraine army took all of that eventually. This time when the war started in 2022, the same place, came in more intensely and took that city again. And they made it out just by hours, their life for just hours from being gone. They made it and stayed for 2 days at our house in 2022 this year. Now they're in southwest Ukraine, and he's pastoring and helping churches there and doing a great job. They've really been an asset to us. Their life came this close to being gone a couple times. Kharkiv was a beautiful city, like Tanya mentioned. I remember when we took Russian language classic, or one of the books talked about the beautiful city of Kharkiv. It was a city of 3 million, had the biggest Plochad, which in English would be like the biggest open air or town square, you know, the big open area in the middle of a big city. The biggest one in all of Eastern Europe, just about in all of Europe. It was a beautiful place. And you can see what the Russian bombs did to it. And this is downtown in the Plochad as well. These are science buildings and office buildings and government buildings and universities are down here, and they try to blow up everything. This is an apartment. This is an apartment in our city of Kharkiv. A lot of apartments like this. Tanya was in one of these kind of apartments, not that tall, but hers was a big one, but not like this. But she was in there whenever the bombs began to rattle the windows and stuff like that, and she was fortunate that she wasn't killed. If you were one of these things when the bombs hit, slammed in the side of your thing and it blew up, you'd just be shot at and killed when you hit the ground, or you'd be burned. But think of a lot of people had already fled when they come back. Even a lot of Christians in Ukraine, by the way, 8 million people, 8 million people fled as refugees out of Ukraine. But already, they're so devoted to the country. Already in the news, it said this week, as of this week, 5 million people have gone back into Ukraine. 5 million. So they're coming back. A lot of believers are going to come back to their home in Ukraine. You know what they're going to find? Nothing. Just think if there was an explosion in your house today while you're at church. You didn't even hear about it, but when you're gone, everything you have in this world is gone. That's what they're going to come to, a lot of them. And now, it's interesting, we do have a fund to help protect those people and pay for those, and a lot of people are doing that as well. But a lot of these people are going to come back to nothing, only because the Russians decided that they needed to get rid of Ukraine. And this is even in our city, a kindergarten, where they teach kids, you can see there, Nancy and I have been to this place, and they even bombed that, and it wasn't by accident. Kharkiv is a big modern city, and they have, these are big, beautiful houses at the edge of town. They blew up every one of them. And this is a cultural center in Dragutin, town right next to Kharkiv. They blew off the top part of it, and you can see the bottom part over here. If you look real carefully, it's in fire right there. And a lot of these bombs come, these big missiles come in, they come really super fast. They go way up and come really damn fast. They're not aimed that well, but when they hit, they do a lot of damage. These missiles are 10 feet long. Think of this, 10 feet long. They come in extremely fast. If they don't explode, they bury themselves in the ground. This missile is going through pavement. That's hard ground underneath. And can you imagine it grow itself 8 feet into the ground? There's been quite a few like this. And you can see the anti-missile people in the military are taking them, pulling them out of the ground. We have one of our former translators that can you imagine her and her daughter were on their porch 20 feet from this, watching them pull one of these things out of the house, out of the street right in front of them. If it had gone off, they'd all just be turned into ashes. Now, this is a famous picture you can see online. It went right through the building, right through a couple of roofs, and you can see this, where the flames went through in the ceiling right there, and it stuck, and it finally ended it right in these people, and they took a video of, they were having a video going, and all of a sudden they yelled out some words and stuff. I couldn't hear what they said. So I emailed Tanya, and I said, what do they say? And she said, a lot of cuss words. Can you imagine, you're in your house, and sudden, boom, this thing comes in, and you go, what was that? You know, all this stuff. But what do Ukrainians do? Hey, Ukrainians are a resilient people. If this guy right here was in Ukraine, you know what he'd be doing? He'd be shaving his whiskers. And what do? They shave the whiskers. That's the same exact picture, by the way. I mean, it's interesting how these people are pretty rugged. This is also back at our house, by the way. This is the bomb went off here and blew up shrapnel against our roof, tore up our, you can see our windows and our fence and gate and all this stuff and knocked out some windows. And even the upstairs window, the concussion went up and blew that window out. This is our van, this is our gate that we had sanded and painted all this anti-rust stuff and made a nice, beautiful gate. And they shot bullet holes with rifles through that. This is our garage right next door. You can see, if you look at the top, you can actually see all the way through our garage now. We don't know for sure what kind of a weapon did that. We have some evidence that the back half of our garage and the front may be blown out because they showed us a video and there was a bunch of debris over there. It's either from our garage or from the neighbor's house. We're not sure which one yet. But it's interesting, this summer we have a summer evangelistic English club for kids, neighborhood kids like Tanya mentioned early this morning. And in this end of the garage, we have this gigantic double sheet up, and we put a projector in the other end, way up in the air, so it shine over the kids' head. We put all these homemade benches in there, and we have popcorn and movie night, and we have a sellout crowd every night. But then we're going to have to patch up a roof. Hopefully these roofs have been patched already, but we don't know. This is our house. The four corners on this, the four windows in this corner are Nancy's bedroom, as well as my office. And something looks like it went through and blew up both halves. We don't know what the other half looks like just yet. The next picture will be inside our house. And that's where it came through and exploded. You can see the orange thing is our fan where we covered up with that orange grocery bag for the winter time when we don't need to be blowing any air. If we had been asleep on that bed and we'd heard this giant noise, all of a sudden we would have woke up to a noise and looked, opened our face and saw Jesus because we would have been dead. And this one's right in the same, this is the same room. It blew some more of the roof off, as you can see. That's what's left of my office. Not much of it's left, but it's still there. And the Ukrainians, by the way, the Ukrainians said this guy went through our office, I mean, through our house and got some stuff out for us. And he said, Ron, he said, your house is a mess. Your house is a mess. He said, but we think that it's structurally okay and it can all be rebuilt. And this is using our van to transport people to the train station in March. The war started in February 24th, about there. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people from Kharkiv were trying to get out of Ukraine to try to save their life. And they have to go all the way across. It's like going all the way across Texas. You can imagine, this is not an easy trip. And before it cost $4, they go to the train station with a taxi. Now the taxis have price gouged up to $100. And so most people can afford that. But our van takes them for free. But we also do, we take them for free, but we give them gospel tracts and we tell them the gospel of Christ, because we're never going to see these people again, unlike the villages where we see them again, over again and again. This is a mass of people trying to get out of our city, Kharkiv. Tanya and Nancy and I have been out of this on the same exact train tracks many times, but never a massive crowd like this. These are all people in March trying to get out of Ukraine. And these are some of our students and members of our church. We cover up their faces for security because this van has been shot at by Russian troops. They don't like what we're doing, spreading the gospel of Christ and giving people food. This is actually part of a video where they said, "Ron, we wanted to tell you we're so sorry that, first, we're glad that we have your van to use for this evangelism ministry and feeding ministry, but we broke your chair because it was packed full of stuff." We've seen pictures of this van packed full of everything you can imagine, just jam-packed full. I didn't have the heart to tell him that the seat was already broken before we gave it to him. Okay. And this is another village where they would take all kinds of food. We've seen our car packed full of these black plastic bags, like we call trash bags, packed full of food to take it to different villages. And we tell people the gospel of Christ. I tell you what, I'm really proud of our students because they're more brave than we are. And they're witness, and I'm telling you, our van has been shot at a couple times, several times, and it's been hit. And the people, so far no one's been killed, but thank the Lord for that. But they're willing to do this stuff. And people, you know, when you're hungry and you can't get food and someone brings you food, you're thankful. You're happy for these people. And they want to tell you something. You listen to them. And they tell them the gospel. They're not afraid to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says, volunteer on a van. You're not supposed to shoot a volunteer van. It's not a military vehicle, but they shoot anyway. And there's one of the bags of food they take. This is to a poor people like in the village where there's no jobs and stuff like this at this time. And this is our pastors and workers from our church distributing food. Each one has these bags of food and they have the gospel. They give people tracts and tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like I said, about 30 people have come into the church because of their effort. This is in the western part of Ukraine. People come through villages and they come through all over Ukraine and they stop. Some of them stop at our church. We move the stuff out and put these beds in. We clean them up for a couple of days. We try to evangelize them as well. And then after 2 or 3 days, we send them to usually to Poland because it's pretty close to here, if not to Romania, Moldova, one of those other countries. And this is an interesting letter from one of my students who's also a grandma. She's a member of Word of God Church, who's a very strong Bible-believing, grace-oriented church just like this one. And the reason I put this here is because this lady is ready for death because her faith is grounded on the Word of God. And I can tell you there's a lot of good Christian books and Christian magazines and all that stuff that help you grow in the faith. But if your faith is not grounded in the Word of God, when it comes time that your life is threatened and your life could be lost, you're going to fall apart. But I like what this lady said. If God wants me to go now, I just pray that he'll take me and everything will be great. But if he wants me to stay here, all I want is to be a faithful witness, a faithful servant of Jesus Christ while I'm still alive. And this is an interesting thing. When the Russians failed to take Kyiv, they tried to get out as fast as they can. A lot of their tanks, of course, were destroyed. And a lot of them were destroyed, but a lot of people were killed. And they had to get their tanks off the road and back under the ground and head out of town. But the snow had melted and the ground had turned to mush. And tanks are very heavy. And tanks can go through water, but they cannot go through deep mud. All they do in deep mud is they just keep going right straight down because that thing just keeps going as deep as the mud is. That's how they're going to go down. And when this was in the newspaper in Ukraine, the first thing the headline was, "Ukraine farmer steals Russian tank." So notice the John Deere tractor, because John Deere had and other companies had given them millions of dollars worth of farm equipment and actually improved their production quite a bit. And Ukraine is a religious country. 67% of people, according to the government and to the CIA, says that they're religious, but they don't actually practice their religion that much. We've talked to hundreds of them, if not thousands of them, in our neighborhood and on the trains. And they think, I asked them, I said, are you a Christian? They said, of course I'm a Christian. I said, how do you know if you're going to go to heaven or hell? And they pull out this cross, and you have drunk already, and they pull out a cross and say, the priest blessed this, and if I wear it, I'm guaranteed to go into the kingdom. They pray to the dead. They have all these weird rules. The one thing they don't have is the clear gospel of grace of God. That salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection alone. And when you add works to it, you only mess up the gospel. Human beings cannot improve over what God said, and he said that salvation is by grace and faith. And whenever you add works to it, you're saying that the work of Jesus Christ is not good enough. You're going to add your own good works. And you can see how foolish that is. That's why in Ukraine we preach the gospel of God's grace. A couple of ministry opportunities and we'll be done real quickly. Ukraine was one of the 15 former Soviet nations. There's the picture of the blue sky of the golden field of Ukraine, like we have a flag there. And there's the sky. You can see where they get their flag from. And now they have religious freedom, which means opportunities for spreading the word of God. Ukraine is important for a lot of reasons. We've been to a couple of the countries, but Ukrainians, even now, but before the war even more, they could go to countries where we cannot go. I've been in Russia a couple of times, but it cost $200 and now it probably, well, before the war, it would have been probably $400 just for a 2-week visa. And so it's very expensive for us to go over this, but they can go. Our people take classes in our Bible college, they go to Ukraine, they go to other nations. At least five countries we know of, they started churches in. I still get emails from places like Siberia, and they'll say, "Mom, can you remember me from 10 years ago, whatever it was, we took classes from you for a year or 2 years?" We want them to go the whole time, but they don't. And they said, "We went to Siberia and started a church, now I'm married, we've got 2 kids, and 22 people in our church," stuff like that. And I think, wow, if I look at this room here, there's probably not 5 people in this room, including me, that there's none of us could probably survive in Siberia. It's rugged. It's very rugged. And these people are willing to go anywhere and do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called up to Ukraine, but he's called you to right here in Amarillo, Texas. And it may be some of you will end up in Ukraine, maybe not. But you know what? Wherever we are, he has a purpose for us right here. God established the church, the local church. He ordained the church. You are a church. And God expects you to get his work done through you. He is not going to get his work done through angels. Now, I know that most of you think that Preacher Steve has never, you think that he's preached a perfect sermon, but he never has. It never will. God could have chosen angels to do that, but you know what? He chose you. He chose people to get his work done. That's us. And salvation is free, and it doesn't have anything to do with works and trying to do good deeds and bring people to Christ. It has nothing to do with us getting into the kingdom. But what we do in this life does determine what we do in the next life. How you serve Jesus Christ here doesn't get you into heaven, but it determines at the judgment seat of Christ, your capacity to serve and honor Jesus Christ for all eternity is going to be determined what you do here. And at that day in the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, there will be no negotiating. You don't talk, you listen. He's going to tell you what you did, and you're going to say, "Yes, sir." And then you're going to take your reward or lack thereof. And if you're rewarded enough, you know what that means? That you get to honor him all the more. You cast your crowns before him, and you're going to serve the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe forever. We have that opportunity. So this is not the time in the history of the world for us to be lazy people. This is the time for us to be faithful disciples, and those Ukrainian people have given us a lot of lessons. Our purpose statement is to establish biblical churches in Ukraine and other foreign nations, and you can see quite a few more in just a moment. This is the Reconciliation Church in Kharkiv. All we did was Vitaly trained him for 5 years, bought him an electronic keyboard, and let him use our van for 6 months. And they started the church in an old Soviet warehouse, piece of a factory, half of a factory they bought. With their own money, they refurbished it. We never paid a penny for that part of it. And I preached there. Now, here's the difference between American and Ukrainian culture. I preached there, and I counted 104 people. Can you imagine if church started from almost nothing? And I said to Vitaly, "How many people go here?" And he said, 61. And I said, "How many?" And he said, 61. I said, "I counted 104. How could you? I mean, I could be off some, but not that much. How could you get 61? He said, "We count only saved, baptized, faithful attending church members versus attendance." And I said, "Wow, in the United States, we count every living soul, and pregnant women count too." I was in a church recently, and this church says, this Baptist pastor says, "That's not true." He said, "You don't know if there's twins. We count pregnant women as three. Okay. You can't win them all." This is a house church in Rivne, where we have started, and I'm teaching there the Bible to these people. And it's interesting that, think of this, you guys have right here an absolutely beautiful, wonderful facility. When Jesus Christ comes, this place is going to be destroyed and just be trash rubble heap, worse than those places that you saw in Ukraine already. So it's going to be a worthless piece of junk. Now, why is it here? This place is a blessing from God to you so that you could use this for one purpose, that is to honor God and His Word by teaching the Word of God, evangelizing people, growing them in the faith in here, making a strong local church right here in Amarillo, Texas, that can be a light in a dark place. And let me tell you, even in Amarillo, Texas, you think that darkness is only New York City. No, it's right here. This is, the world is getting worse day by day. I mean, Nancy and I came back, I don't know what you guys did in the United States, we came back after a year or two. The kids don't know if they're boys or girls or where to go to the bathroom and all this stuff. The world is a dark place. I like what one guy said, we're getting used to the dark, and that's not good. But the point is this, every house is a house church. This is a holy place right here, not because of this beautiful building. This means nothing. Some of the old Baptist churches in Ukraine think the bricks and mortar are holy. They're just trash. This is a holy place because those Christian believers are here. And you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God looks at you, He doesn't see a rotten sinner like you are. He sees, and like I am, by the way, I'm worse than you. In fact, there's evidence that Pastor Waterhouse is the third worst sinner ever. I'm number two, and Paul said he's number one. So Paul's first, I'm second, and the preacher's second. He's third. But let me tell you this. God doesn't look at us and see sinners. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ when He looks at you forever. That's forever. Your eternal destiny is settled. God is satisfied with you 100% because of the sacrifice of Christ. He's reconciled. You're reconciled to God because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. That means that He owns us. We should be willing to give our lives to Him. We only have a short time to serve Him. I'll tell you that right now. You see this gray hair? I was talking to a preacher, and the preacher says, "Wow, your hair is getting gray." I said, "Yeah, my hair turned gray, but some people I know turned loose." That was him. This is one of our, I know it doesn't look like much, this is an Armenian, these are my students. So they started this little church and they built this thing in the middle of some sort of a field. And you can see inside here, it only holds about 8 people. We had a sellout crowd. Actually, I should have worded this to Ron Mitten preachers to a packed house. Packed house, yes. But they only hold about 8 people. But you know what? It's the same thing. If you have a big, beautiful building, if you use it to the glory of God, then God is happy with that. That's what He expects us to use this for. That's why you have this place. That's why you're going to get a new projector. But it doesn't make any difference where you are. It's where God's people are. That's what counts. And our only purpose is to multiply the family of God right here on earth and to teach them to do the same thing. Remember the Great Commission is teach, win people to Christ, baptize them, and teach them doctrine. That's what we need to do. Our Bible college is effective. Like I said, we've had over 700 new students, and over 100 pastors have been trained in our college, by the way, that had already been. A lot of pastors in Ukraine were pastors, but they didn't know the Word of God. They had almost zero training. So we had this Bible college, and we have first-class quality pastors. Hey, Charlie Greenway was here. He came over and taught local church evangelism. You talk about a high-quality class, man. That was a super, super class. We have other ministries. I'll quickly show you a couple of pictures here, and then we'll be pretty much done. This black guy, Don Evans, I taught him in ancient history from a Gulf. I taught him Greek and theology in Capital Bible Seminary. He started a church in Washington, D.C., and Village Community Church. I said, you know what? Village Community Church, that's in Greek. That's ecclesia, ecclesia, ecclesia. So, but his church is a strong biblical view, biblical church. And listen to this. He's been to Ukraine to teach the book of Daniel for us about 6 times. His church people have been over 3 or 4 times to help us in Ukraine. Here they're doing evangelism on the church, train station across the street from the church. These are from refugees from Shasta, where the war started in 2014 and 2022. A border hit their house. Their apartment is up in the air, and it blew part of the wall out, but they're able to get out. I don't know what happened to the dad. We brought them to our house. We said 12 sets of refugees came to our house. A church in Denver gave us $1,000. We bought those little beds that you saw Yuri and Andrea on. And they come scared. This kid right here gave me some shrapnel. I have it in our little house in Claude, Texas. Shrapnel right on my shelf right now. That a bomb was blown up, and he pieced up in his yard, and he took it with him before they got out. We clean them up, feed them, give them the Word of God, and they're believers when they come. And we send them to the center of Ukraine at our expense to some other Christians, or we try to find relatives and get them to places like that. This is our backyard ministry fire pit. It was an absolute dump. And this place, you couldn't believe it, in the Soviet Union, there was no such thing as trash service. It was just, I can't describe how much junky our backyard was. And this, the valley slants like this, and so we had to build these retainer walls. And if you look on our display back there, in fact, you look right there now, you see that round picture? That's a little coin as big as a dime, but we've made a large amount. That's a 1908, 9 years before Soviet Union coin that Nancy dug up. And I dug up a whole can of Soviet Union coins from our backyard that someone had buried before the thing collapsed. Anyway, we have this ministry fire pit. These are university students. We invite our students. We'll go and invite them to our place and say, there's a missionary named Ron Minton from the United States here. First, we have to convince them that's true, because in our little town, Bergeshi, not very many Americans come. We're the only ones we know of in our city. But they come in here, speak English. They want to learn English. It's just like Tanya. She's a English speaker. A lot of Ukrainians want to know how to speak English. Some of these people have come to the Lord and already been baptized in our church. And we have evangelism. We do believe evangelism is a Christian duty. Christ and the apostles said also that we should be doing this. And we don't have to do it the wrong way, but we have to tell them the true gospel, and that is that Christ Jesus is God. He became a man. He died on the cross for our sins. Hebrews 2:9 says that Christ Jesus became a man so that he could taste death for everyone. And we teach people that gospel. Nancy and I have given out now about 30,000 of these booklets, the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans, bound together in Russian language. We're almost out, and we had 30,000. All of our students do have to take biblical evangelism class. This is my favorite picture of all the time we've been in missionaries. I love this picture the most because of what happened. We had a big evangelism thing. 1 year, Ukraine was the site of the Euro Cup, the second largest soccer event of the world, World Cup and the Euro Cup. And all of Ukraine was given over to sports, because that was the only year ever it was in Ukraine. And this big apartment building, to make a big circle, it's only about a mile from our church, less than a mile, and inside is maybe 6 or 8 acres, and there's some grass, all kinds of junk, and we cleaned it up, and we had evangelism there, and it was a sports evangelism. Nancy taught hula hoops, we had basketball, baseball, American football, we had bicycle races and all kinds of sports. Every day there's 500 to 1,000 kids come out, because we advertise in every apartment up there. And I'm telling you, they came to me and said, Ron, you're American, you teach them how to play American baseball. And I said, no problem, I grew up in Dumas, Texas. How many of you ever heard of Dumas, Texas? Everybody here. I grew up in Dumas, Texas. I was the only sophomore that made the baseball team that year. Of course, usually it's mostly juniors and seniors. So I said, no problem, I could teach them. But then I said, wait a minute, Russian language school, they didn't say a word about baseball. So I went to get Tanya, not this Tanya, but another Tanya. I said, Tanya, you got to translate for me, because I'm going to teach these kids how to play baseball. And she says, what's that? And I said, we're in trouble. It's impossible to teach them, by the way. Anyway, we taught them enough to do something. The last day, after 5 days, can you imagine this kid in a yellow shirt? He smacked that ball right over the second baseman's head, a perfect hit. And I said, run, run, run. Of course, you speak English. He said, get it, where? And I said, come in. That means the rocks. We have a rock pile for first base. I said, go quickly. Bistro. And he goes, just running like a lightning bolt. I thought, wow, kid should be in the Olympics. We kept on going. But he went. He didn't stop and turn left. I forgot to say, no level, which means turn left. And he kept on running. I said, I love this. He's already at right field. And I said, everybody, you have fun to come back. But this kid runs so fast. All I did was run as fast as you can. And he kept on zooming. We never saw him again. You see, I went to the pastor and said, look, I'm telling you, it's a true story. I said, we don't know what happened to this kid. I said, I'm a little bit worried. And the pastor said, Ron, you see that building? If you lived in Ukraine the rest of your life, you would not know how to get home like this kid does. He grew up there. Anyway, one of you kids here, don't forget we have a coin for you back there as a souvenir. If they still some left, even the big kids. And this is back at our patio in our house, and we had some missionaries visit that day, and he's also we had drug and rehab ministry in our church, in our church, and these little muscular guys are these drug people, I'm telling you. It's amazing because we can't give them any money, but we are allowed to give them food. We have them work for about 6 hours, and then we have a two-hour Bible study with them, and then we take them back in our vans to the drug place where they have to live near the church. These guys can eat a whole chicken. One of them can eat a chicken. Unbelievable. They come and said, we don't get good food very often. And I said, I thought you guys got fed pretty good. And they said, no. But we try to win them. There's actually some of these guys that are actually teaching the Bible, God's grace in Ukraine right now. Now, not all of them make it through. Some of them go back into their drugs and alcohol, mostly alcohol, because drugs are too expensive. But there's a good number of them that come to the Lord, and they get trained in the faith, and they're serving Jesus Christ to this very day. This is our Summer Evangelistic English Club. We have 60-something kids come up here, use average in the 20s every day. You see our giant apple tree in our backyard. And we call it our backyard camp or whatever, and they said, this is our summer camp. And I said, it's just our backyard, it's our summer camp. It's okay, it's your summer camp. So we have a great time, have a lot of fun. But we also teach them English because their grandparents and their parents said, you're going to go and learn English. They couldn't possibly afford to teach. Almost no one in Ukraine could afford to teach, to take the English from Americans because it costs so much. But we do it for free, so we advertise that, and so they send their kids out right away. And a lot of these kids hear the gospel. It's very difficult for them to understand the gospel of grace. No matter how clear we make it, they say, I said, do you understand? They said, yes. What do we have to do? I mean, it's like, you tell them 10 times, what do we have to do? That's all they've heard, because they, in Russian Orthodox Church, it's what you do. You do what the priest says, and you obey the church, and you'll go into the kingdom. God, you won't go. So we have a lot of those town people, and you can see small groups of them like that. And we have game time. They love those water balloons. You know those physical things that you do, exercise, you put them on your foot and stretch up like that? Those things make unbelievable water balloon launchers. You can almost send them into space. But they love throwing water balloons there. And then that girl, Uliana, listen to this. That red-haired girl, Uliana, could you imagine? 3 years, 10 weeks, she never missed a day. I mean, she got the Superhero of the Year award. We did miss the whole month, I mean, the whole year, 1 year in COVID, and of course this year because of war. And the better students, these people here, were very students. In fact, this boy right here, then his dad, it was the one who was driving the van around, one of his evangelists, guys, one of our students. And the good ones get a modern English and a modern Russian Bible, English, one page in Russian right beside it. And behind there is our greenhouse. And there we have the upper level students. This is Eric Simpson, one of my students in ancient days as well. He's a missionary, full-time pastor for 20 years in England. And that's Nastya up in the front. We helped her get out of Ukraine alive, and Tanya's back there being a supervisor, like she does quite a bit, because she's very good. And she's Tanya's teaching, what do you call those things, crossword puzzles, teaching the gospel in English and all this stuff. And this is in our garage where we have, at nighttime, we'd have these movies and fill it up with people. I tell you, you get a movie and a popcorn on a big screen, they come out, even though it's just shown on a big old sheet. But you can see that, well, that sheet is, that whole end of the garage is blown up. We don't know for sure how much is damaged. This is in Lugansk, where the war started the first time. We had established some churches there. We had the Bible college that moved there. And a lot of people, we went to villages. This is an orphanage girl. And she had never seen a Bible in her life. We gave her a Bible in Russian language. She's reading the Gospel of Luke in the Russian language. And we started the International Baptist Bible College, not related to any other college on the planet. And these are some upper-level students, and they learn, and we teach them church planning and discipleship techniques in there. And in October, Nancy and Tanya and I went to Kyiv to teach two classes in the capital city, to teach a class for 2 weeks. And then we flew to Armenia. It's actually quite short and cheap to fly to Armenia from Ukraine. And we taught theology of one God in the Bible. Now, Ararat in the back, that's Turkey. There's kind of like the fighting between the two countries. And we need to pray for Armenia, by the way, because now the Russians were kind of like a peace-keeping forces in the middle, because Russia wanted to keep all that under their control. But now a lot of those Russian troops have had to leave there, and there's no one protecting Armenia from these two Islamic nations which want to take the whole thing. In 1915, the Russians when you try to kill everybody in the country. They did kill a vast majority of the Armenians. But now Armenians have actually become a pretty strong Christian place. And we're getting ready to open some more classes in this place here. Tanya and Nancy doing some outing in the ruins. There's a lot of ruins in ancient Armenia, I tell you that. This is a class in Poland where we have a Bible college, went over to Poland, spread out. Lithuania is in Ukraine, down in the war zone. What happened in the 2014 war, the Russians came over and took the city. There's like four or five cities here, have 100, 150,000. Those are industrial cities where they have big plants for making batteries and all kinds of stuff like this. And Russia pretty much destroyed all of those. But the Ukraine army took it back after 2 years. And then we went there and started having classes. And I left here because we have more pastors per student than anywhere else. And I was teaching Christology there my first time. And all of a sudden I could hear this boom, boom, boom. And I said, how close are those big artillery shells? And they said, in English, it would be 3 or 4 miles. And I said, for Texan, that's too close. That's me. And this is where we, in Lugansk, where the war first started. We'd gone there before the war, and took this dilapidated building, which in the United States would have just been bulldozed, but there we repaired it. Made this beautiful place, and this is a Russian library, with two giant rooms and two small rooms. We left there to go teach a class of war game in 2014, and for 8 years we have not been back there. And finally, you can see by the way, in the book of Philippians, don't believe Paul when he says, finally, okay? He says, finally, and he keeps on going. So when I say finally, you can almost believe me. It's close. But the red arrows are where we have regular six cities, regular classes in Ukraine. The yellow arrows, we have occasional. And the Lugansk, this is what we call the Donbass area, this basic area right here. There's a place that was of all of Europe's largest nuclear reactor that Russia controls right there. And there's the Lugansk where the war started. Donetsk and Lugansk had a brand new, super high-quality, modern airport built for the Euro Cup, and Russia destroyed both of those airports. Right here, there's that gigantic, Mariupol is a place that big, you heard on the news forever, they talk about that, where the giant metal places were, where the people are underground, and they're trying to bomb them out for all those years, and finally the guys did give up. And that was right there, they had a gigantic metalworks place. I mean, we're talking serious big. They export a lot of metal and other stuff from there, they did. And Odessa is right here, that's where they export their food. Ukraine cannot exist without exporting food and that stuff because that's how they make most of the money. And Russia wants to take all this, cut off all that, and they basically destroy Ukraine when they do that. But here's the biggest news of all is in the city of Kherson right here. And that's where the big war is fighting now. Right up here is where, in the war, Ukraine is taking back all this area right here. There's Derdyshi, our town. Ukraine is taking back all this stuff right here. That's the first time since World War II, to my knowledge, that Russia has said, we lost this war, this battle in this area. Ukraine defeated us. And people were shocked that the Russian government said that. But the Ukrainian American general said the reason they said it, because everybody wants Putin dead. And they said that to say so that they could blame the military leaders, the Russian leaders, and the Russian soldiers instead of Putin. And so what happens, the reason that they blame him is so they won't keep Putin in power. But they want to take all this area here and starve Ukraine basically to death. We measure our Bible college by success in the number of classes completed. Even in COVID years, we had record numbers 28 and 32. And you can see we had, I think we have a note here. Maybe yes, maybe no. Oh, yes. 2,305 people. Tiny crunches of numbers on our computer every year. 2,305 people have taken at least one class. A couple hundred people, older people, taking classes and would never even sign up. Because in Soviet days, if you signed something, it could be the end of you. And finally, I do want to say that it costs a lot of money because we're rebuilding, and also we lost $800 a month because of COVID, the two COVID years. And also, we do have an emergency relief. And also in Armenia, they're very hungry for the word of God. We're increasing classes. But one large class, the large theology class, the notes and the to translate is $500. We just spent $500 yesterday in class in the book of Ezekiel. It's coming up next week. And we count Westcliff Bible Church as a partner to help fulfill the Great Commission. You guys give us money, but most of all, you say prayers. Prayer is something that we cannot survive without, and you cannot survive. Hey, if Jesus relied on prayer, if Paul relied on prayer, let me tell you, we and you need to rely on prayer. And so we want to thank you for being our partners. And most of all, we want to thank you for being a lighthouse in Amarillo, Texas, right here on this hill. But it doesn't shine automatically. You're subject to the law of thermodynamics. Second law, and your doctrine and your witness for Christ go drift downward unless you put energy into it. How do you do that? By being here, encouraging one another, taking in the word of God, strengthening your faith, and preaching the grace of God around the world. And so people can say, every man-made religion on earth says we're saved by works, but you can come and say, good news. You already knew that you couldn't save yourself no matter what you did, but we can tell you by the one, even though you're weak, we can tell you the one who's not weak, and that's Jesus Christ. You have the ability to spread that around the world. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the wonderful grace of Jesus. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. And we have not only the opportunity but responsibility to carry his word and to preach his word faithfully around the world. And thank you for the opportunity to be right here at Amarillo where people have a heart to Jesus Christ. They want to take your word around the world, and we thank you for that. And I pray that you would bless our effort, that we would be found faithful to you and honored to your word. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Where's Pastor Waterhouse? Pastor Steve. Yes, we have a special right now, right?
Congregational.